Amen, amen. Well, good to be saved. Oh, yeah. Amen. Well, it must be better to be saved on Sunday night than Sunday morning, because there's a lot more happening. Good to be in church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Good to see me. Yes, well, I figured you guys were doing so good, I'd throw that in there. It's always good to be saved. It's always good to be in church. I'll mention a couple things about the book table. I want to explain why we have a book table. Some folks don't really understand why we have a book table, for only one reason. We are desperate. I was in a church. You ever meet people, they just want to let you know they got more convictions than you. And so I had some, I wouldn't say self-righteous, but I can't think of a better word. I had some self-righteous guy walk up to me and goes, you're selling books in a church. I said, well, yeah. I don't believe in money changing in the church. I said, me neither. I said, I got a conviction against it. He goes, you do? I said, yeah. I said, fortunately, my wife has no convictions whatsoever. So she takes care of the book table. That carnality comes in handy every now and then. But anyway, so everything's back there for you. I'll mention a couple things. This is the book that your pastor spoke about this morning, An Understandable History of the Bible. This is the fourth edition. It started out quite smaller, and through the four editions, I think it's been added about three different chapters and about maybe 200 pages just of added information. And it is understandable. I got this church. I preach in the Philadelphia area. And this fella's aged grandmother, Roman Catholic lady, got saved. And she said, well, just where did we get the Bible from anyway? And they gave her that. And she promptly broke a hip trying to pick it up. It's tragic. No, she. They said a couple months, she's coming and telling them where their Bible came from. So it is, I wouldn't call it a complete history of the Bible, but I call it understandable history of the Bible. Excuse me, and that does help. This is the sod trodden trail, a believer's victory walk. It's just a little book on the Christian life. And today the Christian life, all that stuff is all about how to feel better about yourself and how to get through your troubles, and has nothing to do with serving God. It's all about, Jesus is like a great big aspirin in the sky. But this pastor, this guy's he's both a pastor and he's a Tennessee State Trooper. I pray for him every day. I pray for our law enforcement every day, guys. But that book is a very, very well-written, handy book. This one, Money is a Defense. Now, he's doing a sequel called So is the 357. Thank you, brother. But money is a defense, and that is in the Bible. That statement is in the Bible. But did you ever hear anybody say, I don't know who came up with this, why they call it common sense when it's so uncommon? Yeah. And in that little book, there is so much common sense that you'll feel as stupid as you could possibly be if you read it. Some of you don't want to read it because you'll find out you actually can live on your income, and no Christian wants to find that out. Yeah. The 4th of July is just about upon us. And I told you this morning about our founding fathers. And I was raised in public school. What that means is I was lied to 5 days a week. I was told, you were probably told this too. I was told this country was not founded by Christians, it was founded by deists. And if anybody ever tells you that, say, okay, name five of them. And they'll tell you Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin. And Thomas Franklin and Ben Jefferson. And hey, those two guys were deists. But I'll tell you something. We open our Congress in prayer because the deist, Ben Franklin, demanded that we do it. That guy had more conviction than some Christians do today. And Thomas Jefferson wanted to be known as a Christian. He was not afraid of that word. He just was screwed up in what he thought. But I'm telling you, the founding fathers were, for the most part, saved men. Here's what John Jay said. He was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Unto him who is the author and giver of all good, I render sincere and humble thanks for his manifold and unmerited blessings, and especially for our redemption and salvation by his beloved Son. Blessed be his holy name. Ooh, wouldn't it be nice to hear a Supreme Court justice say that? George Mason, he's the father of what we know as the Bill of Rights, first 10 amendments. He said this, my soul I resign in the hands of my almighty creator, whose tender mercies are all over his works, humbly hoping from his unbounded his unbounded mercy and benevolence through the merits of my blessed Savior, a remission of my sins. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence. Principally and first of all, I recommend my soul to that almighty being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. Now, if that's a deist, we need a whole lot more deists. Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration, on the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for salvation on his merits, not on the works which I have done. And I really like this one. Dr. Benjamin Rush. Benjamin Rush was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said this, quote, "My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. Now, that's the people who penned our Constitution, and that tells you why the people in power today hate it. Amen. That also tells you why this has been a great nation. Thomas Jefferson, that deist, made this statement. He said, "The Bible makes the best people in the world." He also said the Bible is the source of liberty. He was 100% right on both of them. But think about this. If the Bible is the source of liberty, then as the Bible is pushed out of our society, what goes with it? Liberty. And we're seeing that, are we not? Here's what John Adams, our second president, said. Now, I'm going to read you half of this. I'll let you finish it according to what CNN would have you think. John Adams said this: "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible as their own law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited." Basically, he said, what if a country just lived by the Bible? What would you have? Well, you'd have this homophobic, racist, terrible society. Here's what your second president said you'd have. What a utopia. What a paradise this region would be. I got a section in here. I don't want to read too much. I got a section that has a little blurb from the constitutions of all 50 states. Let me see if I can read one for you. How's this? Preamble. "We, the people of the Republic of Texas, acknowledging with gratitude the grace and benevolence of God." That's how your state constitution starts out. And here's what I found out. Out of 50 states' constitutions, God is only mentioned in 50 of them. So those are back there. Now, here's what we do. They're two for a dollar, okay? Now, don't hear what I didn't say. They're not 50 cents a piece. They're two for a dollar. Amen. You say, why not 50 cents a piece? Because my wife doesn't have a pocket full of quarters to make change, so it's two for a buck. I only want one. For you, it's one for a dollar. We aim to please, guys. We'll try to help you somehow. This one is one of the few books on the table we did not, I don't even publish. I published for about 20-25 authors. But this is just a good one. This is actually a Chick publication. Did the Catholic Church give us the Bible? Short answer, no. No. Long answer, get the book. I mentioned this morning that all Bibles come from Greek manuscripts from Antioch in Syria or from Alexandria in Egypt? This book does a tremendous job of following those two lines of Bibles through history. I get a lot of guys that'll say, they'll call me up, they'll say, I'm going to start teaching manuscript evidence. What's the first thing I teach? I said, first thing you teach is that all Bibles come from Greek manuscripts from Antioch or Alexandria, because once you have that information down, you got it figured out, okay? So those are back there. This... Bible says that we're in the age when men will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, then think about what that's saying. If you'll not endure sound doctrine, you will endure unsound doctrine. And some of my brethren want to go halfway through the tribulation. I would kind of like some of my brethren to go halfway through the tribulation, actually. But there's a fellow in Phoenix, Arizona. You know what God is? He's so smart. He takes some idiot and puts him out in the middle of the Arizona desert where all he can do is hurt saguaro cactus. And then the guy discovers the internet, and he's in churches around the world. And this fellow, Stephen Anderson, has been tearing churches up as fast as he can. This is 12 pages of scripture on why we are not going through the tribulation. Guys, I'm not going through the tribulation, okay? I had a mother-in-law here. That's as close to tribulation as I ever wanted to get. I was about to take the mark of the beast. Anyway, so those are back there. And my wife will take care. Oh, she, people ask us this, and so you don't have to ask. Do we take credit cards? Yes. I think we still got four or five from last week. They quit working about halfway through a fill-up at a gas station. I don't understand you. I was Mary Smith for 3 weeks one time. But anyway, she does that. She can. Now, look, don't you complain. Is this not what they say? We swipe your card.
That's right.
What a wonderful phrase. Say, you took my credit. I told you we were going to swipe it. Anyway, but she can run your credit card through that thing and do all that. If you want to get something online, if you get that prayer card that I showed you this morning, on the back of it has my publishing company's website, and they do that PayPal and all the other stuff. Forgive me, this is really acting up tonight. We got what we got. I want you to turn to three places in the Bible. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 40 and Psalm 27 and Proverbs 27. And we'll go to them in that order. Isaiah chapter 40 and then Psalm 27 and Proverbs 27. In Isaiah chapter 40, very last verse in the chapter, says this in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Now let's look at Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, we'll look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then look at Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verse 18. It says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to the author of these words. Father, we thank you for you. Lord God, there may be some things we don't appreciate about our country. Who knows what we don't like? But you have not given us a bad deal. You have given us a wonderful deal. Salvation was wonderful, and everything came with it, God. It's indescribably good. God, these folks came to church tonight, and you blessed them, because there's probably somebody here didn't feel like coming. They didn't feel good. Maybe they're upset about something. Maybe they don't like me. Who knows? But they came to church for you. And God, you blessed them for that, okay? They don't have to get blessed by me, but please let them get blessed by you. If they get blessed by you, it'd been worth their time here. God, these folks want to get something from you, and if they don't get it tonight, it'll be my fault. So please get Sam Gipp out of your way and out of their way. Speak to the heart of each individual and accomplish your purpose in each life represented. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, saw this back here, till the trumpet sounds. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. You know, I've often said this. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way. But from the day you got saved, on the day you got saved, you began living at a bus stop. And by that, I mean this. People on a bus stop, aren't they waiting for somebody to come and get them, take them someplace?
Yep.
Haven't you been waiting since you got saved?
Amen.
I got to admit, man, it's been like 51 years since I got to this bus stop. Amen. And a whole bunch of folks that were there when I got there found another way to get there. But I have been waiting at a bus stop for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
And I'm still believing he's going to. You know, I was talking to your pastor today. There were two ladies in a Christian, in a Bible-believing church. And the one woman was excited about the Lord coming back. And she said something, and the other lady misunderstood her. And the first lady said this. She says, You know, the Lord could come back at any moment. And the other lady said, yeah, wouldn't that be just like him to come when you don't want him to? Well, you know, I think some Christians, they just got busy with America. I don't think our people are indulging in the depths of sin and drugs and sex and all this horrible stuff. They're indulging in the depths of daytime TV and reality TV and my bucket list and every other way they want to enjoy life. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'll prophesy for you. If you're not praying for the Lord to come back, you will be by the time he gets here. He will. He is going to end this party. So we're supposed to wait on the Lord. That's not what we talked about. I'm not going to talk to you tonight about waiting on the Lord. I'm going to talk to you tonight about waiting on the Lord. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you go to a restaurant, who brings your food? A waiter or waitress. They what? They wait on you. And it says here, look at verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master. Isn't the Lord your master?
Amen.
He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Amen. And so I'm just going to talk to you tonight about some waiters and waitresses that have been memorable. Okay, now you got to remember, an abscessed tooth is memorable. Not necessarily good, but it's something you'll never forget. Because guys, we are here to wait on the Lord. And one of the things that I point out is if you put a target up here and tell man to shoot at it, you know you're supposed to hit the bullseye, right? Man never gets the 8 ring or the 9 ring. He doesn't go, ooh, that was close. Man, you put the target right up there, man puts the bullets in that wall back there. Man is always 180 degrees out from what's correct. And here's what I'm talking about. I've got another book back there. I'll mention it. It's called Your Purpose for Existing. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Right.
Every one of us, if you've ever wondered, why am I on this earth? You and I were put here to be a pleasure to God.
Amen.
We were put here, and every day your goal is to put a smile on his face.
Right.
But if you would listen to your own prayers, you pray the exact opposite. Hey, God, here's what you can do to put a smile on my face today. Isn't that really what you pray? Because we're always 180 degrees out. And we're supposed to wait on the Lord. And I think sometimes we think that he's supposed to be waiting on us. We give him our wish list. We give him our big Christmas list. We don't want God, guys. We want Santa Claus. And so I want to talk to you about what a good waiter or a bad waiter, waitress is. Okay. Now, we have been on the road for 35 years. We have eaten in countless restaurants. Okay, we have eaten in some where the AIDS virus hangs in spirals from the ceiling like gypsy beads, okay? And we've had some where you didn't have to order food, just take what was on the fork. That was enough. You could feed a family of five off of one of those forks. And I'm going to talk to you about some things about waiters and waitresses that we've seen. And then here's what you do. Check yourself out. Dude, I'm taking check yourself out. I mean, I don't know what your job is, but don't you want to do a good job of what you do? And if our job is to wait on him, I want to be a good waiter. I don't mean waiting like waiting for the bus to come and get me. I mean, I want to wait on him. And so I'm going to talk to you about some things that are important about waiters and waitresses. First thing, I know this may sound crazy, but the first thing a good waiter does, they notice you. It's nice to get waited on. I don't know what this... I don't know what this idea is, but do you ever go into an almost empty restaurant? Like there's people sitting at one table right over here, and they sit you right next to them. Well, I mean, you know, we're not talking about nuclear secrets or anything. I'm not an international spy, but why'd they put me, you know, where I could spit on the person next to me? And we were down in Florida one time, Kathy and I, and we pulled into this restaurant, and I am serious. It was a room probably this size. And there was only two guys sitting in a booth in the back. And they sat us right next to them. But that's okay. So we sit down. And what do they do when they sit you down? They say, your waiter will be with you in just a moment. And then the waiter comes out. If he's got things to do, he brings you water. Maybe he hands you a menu and says, I'll be back. We sat in that booth. Now, we're right next to the only other occupied booth in the restaurant. And watched for 20 minutes by my watch. As the waiter would go back to the kitchen and come back to this booth and back to the kitchen and back to this booth and never even acknowledged that we were alive. I mean, I lost some weight, but I didn't think I'd lost that much. He never brought us water. He never brought us a menu. He never looked over and said, I will be with you in just a moment. That booth could have been just as empty as the one on the other side of him for 20 minutes. Gosh, guys, you know what's a horrible thing to do? Starve to death in a restaurant. So we sat there for 20 minutes, and I just said this to my wife. I said, babe, there are too many restaurants. There are so many restaurants that we don't have to sit here and take this. And so we got up to leave, and as we're walking out, the manager goes, like we weren't paying. And he goes, was your meal okay? I said, I wouldn't know. I said, we sat there for 20 minutes. I said, he came back and forth and back and forth. And I said, he never acknowledged we were there. He goes, you go back in right now, and I will guarantee you'll be waited on in 30 seconds. I said, by an angry waiter? Oh, I don't want to make a waiter angry. I don't want the guy carrying my food to be angry with me, okay? I can just think of all kinds of terrible things that have that food on the way from the kitchen to my table. And I told him, I wasn't sharp with the guy or anything. I said, well, I thank you for the offer, but I said, we'll just go down the road. And we did. We got in our truck, went about a half mile down the road, pulled into another restaurant, walked in. They saw us. They fed us. We paid them. It all worked out like it's supposed to. But guys, a good waiter notices you. Some years ago, I was over in Europe. I was with this missionary in Austria, and we went into this restaurant, and we sit down at this table, and nobody comes, but over here is a guy sitting at a table all by himself, and he's smoking a cigarette, and when we came in there, he's smoking a cigarette, just staring daggers at us, and I thought, German, remembers how the war turned out, obviously. Anyway, but no one ever came. And I said, now, is our waiter good? This is Europe. You got to get used to it. And after about 10 minutes, this guy finally got done with his cigarette and then got up and came and waited on us. He was our waiter. And he couldn't have cared less if we starved to death till he's done that cigarette. And you say, what is it? Think about himself. But we're supposed to wait on the Lord. And sometimes we're too busy thinking about ourselves. We don't even notice what the Lord needs. And so a good waiter or waitress will notice you. A good waiter or waitress will bring you what you want. You know what I am not interested in when I go to a restaurant? The waiter's favorite meal. Oh, yes, I get that all the time. Yes, sir. Deep fried squid. Oh, yes, eyeballs. Lovely, lovely. I don't care what you want. You're not my date tonight. She is. Okay, that's just how it is. We went to this place. Now, did you ever hear that term, greasy spoon restaurant? Okay. I think this is the place where that got started. And at that time, this is so long ago that we still had one of the boys was a baby. And they had a high chair that was so old, it didn't even have a belt put around the kid. But that's okay, because when you put him in, he's stuck. I mean, the back of his shirt and the seat of his pants ripped out when we were trying to get him out of that chair. I thought I was going to have to use a torch. We'd call the EMPs, get him out of there, you know. Honest, I had a short sleeve shirt on. I had my arm on the table. And when I lifted it, just kind of peeled off. And I did. I picked up the fork. The waitress says, can I help you? I said, could I have another fork? She said, is there something wrong with that one? I said, well, it looks like the last guy had eggs. Say, did she bring you a clean fork? No, she charged me for the eggs. And you know, sometimes they got a special, you know, like you get the salad and the main thing and then the dessert. And we don't always get that, but they had some kind of special like that. And so it was a salad and your main course and a bowl of ice cream. And so we ordered that, and this young girl, our waitress, went into the kitchen and came back out with our ice cream. And it sat there, and we watched it turn into soup while we ate our meal. Guys, that's not exactly how it's supposed to work. I'm not a great waiter, okay, but that's not exactly how it's supposed to work. And a good waiter or waitress is going to get you what you want.
Right.
I mean, now look, I understand if you know, you go to order something, somebody says, last three people ordered that, drop dead. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, if somebody says, oh, you shouldn't eat that, that's got too much cholesterol. I said, listen. I seem like when I go to get something, I like a lot of butter on my baked potato. I tell them, I said, I've only got one artery left that's not completely clogged. And we're trying to finish that off today, okay? Oh, well, that's not good for you. You're talking about those people who eat health food. You're looking at one. Everything I eat is health food. So how do you know? Keeps me from starving to death. I think that's healthy. And so a good waiter or waitress brings you what you want. A good waiter or waitress, this is where they almost all pass or fail. They sweat the little things. So what do you mean? All right, I do. I like a lot of butter. Now, I don't know who the saddest was who said, let's freeze the butter. And they bring you out a pat of butter that, I mean, you could throw it against a piece of glass and it'd break. You ever try to butter a piece of bread with that, and the whole piece of the bread just rolls right up? I mean, you could hit this with a torch and it would not melt. But anyway, I'll say, now see, there's these two words I use a lot. Now, I don't know how, well, let me just ask you a question. If somebody said, I'm going to give you a lot of money, and they walked out and handed you $2. I don't think that word means what you think it means. I mean, that is not my idea of a lot, okay? And so, I don't like coffee. I like cream and sugar. But I cut it with coffee. Got to have some place to put it. And so we'll say this. We'll say, bring us a lot of cream. And apparently one is normal and two is a lot. And I've often thought, I want to say, what if I said this? I want a lot of cream and sugar. And when you think of a lot, I want you to think of your tip. Because if you said, I want a lot, and they went, well, two's enough. Okay, I'm with you. Two's enough. I mean, they bring you this butter, and here's what they say. Here's what you say. They bring you this hot potato, and I go, I need a little more butter. Okay. And they go back to the kitchen. Here's what they say themselves. It's just a little thing. I'm not walking all the way back to the kitchen and back to that table for just a little bit of butter. But in a little while, I've got to go to that table there and that table there, and I'll just put the butter on there, and I'll take it by when I get over there. And by that time, the potato's cold.
Yep.
I mean, guys, now I want you to know something. You may think that I am not a nice customer. No, really, that is not me. You ask my wife. I am never belligerent. I am never unkind to people. If I get a bad waitress or waiter, I never say anything. I just shoot them. But anyway, but you ask for more salad dressing, you can't eat the salad till you get the salad dressing. You ask for more butter, you can't eat the potato till you get more butter. You ask for more cream for your coffee, you can't drink the coffee until you get the creamer. And they think, that's a little thing, it doesn't matter. How many times have we had a little thing in our life? A little thing. See, I don't think, you or I don't think we've got some grievous, horrible sins that we're trying to keep out of the sight of God and man, and that, you know, people really do what we were like. No, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Your problem is you probably got a little thing. And when you look at it, you're just like a lost person. What does a lost person say about their sins? Well, I do this, but I'm not as bad as this Christian I know. Well, I do this, but I'm not as bad as a preacher I know. And we think that's all hypocritical when they do that, yet we do the very same thing when we look at what's wrong in us. We say it's just a little thing. Yeah, it is just a little thing, but a good waiter waitress sweats the little things. I'm sitting there like this with a glass of water, and it's empty, and I set it out at the edge of the table. And finally, I said to my wife, you know, and they're usually glass. And I said, Kath, I said, do you think if I shatter this on the floor, they'll notice us? You know, she's like, just get their attention. Maybe just throw it across the restaurant.
Amen.
You say, what happened to your waiter? I think they got kidnapped by Muslims. Or the rapture happened. Or sometimes they just got talking about bowling or something, because I can see them on the other side of the restaurant just gas-bagging with about three more waiters or waitresses, and they never pay any attention. And your coffee cup's empty, and your water glass is empty. You never did get the butter for your potato, and it's ice cold. And guys, now I believe in this. I think some people, I am a servant. I am a servant. I'm servant to you. I teach my students to be servants. Well, a waiter or waitress is a servant, and there's deceit to it that you get what you need, get what you want. And they don't sweat the little things. And I have had it sometimes where I'm about that far down, and the waiter walks by and just puts a brand new glass up. Or I'm looking there, I'm thinking, boy, I'm just about getting down on this coffee, and the guy come by and fill the coffee up. So, oh, you need some more cream, don't you? I say, yes, I do. You appreciate somebody like that, don't you? Don't you think God would? Don't you think God would appreciate somebody that sweated the little things? If you've got a good waiter, waitress, they have a good attitude. Now, there are some people, I say it this way, they have no bedside manner. You know, some folks just don't work good with human beings. They should work in a coal mine. You know, that way you can take a pick and just hate the stone. You know, I hate you, I hate you. I mean, if that's how you, I mean, if you're like a dedicated Democrat and you just hate everybody, you should not be a waiter or waitress. But there's some people, they got to work with people, and they're just as crass and as rude as you can get. I teach these guys how to preach, and I teach them the great truth of preaching. There is one great truth to preaching, and if you get this down, anybody can be a great preacher. You say, what is it? Give me money. Give me money and I'll tell you. No. You know what it is? All right, here's what preaching is. Preaching is that we speak from this book and we hope that the Holy Spirit will tap you on the heart while we're talking. That's called conviction. Amen. This is the great truth of preaching. In lieu of conviction, intimidation will work. Say, you're kidding. I am not kidding. In other words, if I can't get the Holy Spirit in this room to convict any of you, I'll make you feel guilty and you'll think you've been convicted. You say they don't do that. Do it all the time. I'm going to do it right now. I am going to get you all. I'm going to intimidate all of you and you're going to think you're under conviction and you cannot resist me. Okay? Now, watch how this goes. All right? First question. You people don't want people to go to hell. Right? And how many of you in the last week witnessed to 100 people? They didn't witness to 100 people. You don't care about souls. I don't care about souls. Guys, that's not conviction. That's intimidation. Amen. That's just slinging guilt. And so there were some preachers, and they were sitting at a table, and they were, you know, and their waitress was just rude and crude. She was just not nice. And so one of these guys finally just dressed her down, just told her, said, listen, lady, you know, we are your customers. You have not been very nice. You've been very rude. You want a good tip. And just basically put her in place. He was not, horrible, but he just put it on her. And as she walks away, this is a typical cheap shot of another preacher. Another preacher at the table said, rebuked him, because he's going to play the Holy Spirit. How do you know she hasn't had a bad day? How do you know she doesn't have somebody in her family that just died? And that's on her heart right now. The guy's going, oh, man. You know what my answer to that is? How does she know I haven't had somebody just die? If you wait on tables, how do you know the person you're waiting on didn't come in from a funeral?
Right.
Didn't just come from the IRS audit.
Oh, yeah.
And had a little traumatic experience on their own. You know what I tell my young men? I don't care who died. I don't care how bad you feel when you're outside that pulpit. But don't bring it to the pulpit. Leave it outside. And a good waiter or waitress has a good attitude. There was this waitress, and she owned a restaurant, and she was in and of herself an attraction. Her name was Ruth, and I'm pretty sure her last name is Les. And this woman had more hair in her arms than I got in my head, okay? And she was known for being rude and crude. And people would go to the restaurant just for that. And I got this pastor friend in Montana, and he took his mother-in-law there. I can understand it. Anyway, and so his mother-in-law, she ordered some trout. And so this pastor says, I'm sitting here and I can see the kitchen, you know. And so he says, I see Ruth coming out of there with a couple of plates on her arm. And she, my mother-in-law doesn't see it. She's talking to her husband. And here's this woman talking to her husband. And Ruth sticks her big old hairy arm right between the two of them with this trout, completely, fully equipped. Tail, head, eyes, everything it ever had, still on there. And when she laid this down in front of my mom, he said, she laid this down in front of my mother-in-law. My mother went, oh. And Ruth looks at her, she goes, what's the matter? I'm sorry, I'm just having the head on. Is that better? Buddy, I'll tell you what, you eat at Ruth's place, she's like your grandmother. You're going to eat your vegetables. You'll eat the fork if she wanted you to. And that's funny to talk about it, but you know, if I was taking my wife out, I wouldn't take her to Ruth's place. I want to take my wife out. I want to have a nice evening. And so a good waiter or waitress has a good attitude. A good waiter or waitress cares only about your satisfaction. That's all they care about. Some years ago, I was going to take Kathy out. And I saved up. I'm taking her to a steakhouse. So I took her to a steakhouse. And this lady came over, and she said, you know what you guys want? We ordered two steaks. Now, you cook yours any way you want, okay? We like them medium rare. And so my wife likes hers medium rare. I like mine medium rare. So this waitress, you know, she heads back to the kitchen. We're drinking coffee and eating salad. And pretty soon she comes back. She lays these two steaks in front of us. And I felt like a prophet. Because I couldn't even cut into it yet. And I thought, this looks like it's cooked a little more than me. Kind of, you know when it's shaped like the bottom of your shoe and about that thick, you know you're in trouble. And so she walked off and I cut into it. Sure enough, man, it's cooked all the way through. My wife's is cooked all the way through. And you know something? I will usually eat whatever they bring. I just don't like sending food back. But my wife and I didn't get to go out much. And I'm taking her out and I want to have a decent steak. And so I called the waitress over. She says, anything I can do? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, when we ordered these steaks, I said, how did we order them cooked? She says, medium rare. I said, well, look at that. She goes, that is not medium rare. I'll go get you two more. Wonderful lady. Wonderful lady. Back to the kitchen, she goes, more salad, more coffee. She comes back out, and when she put the two new steaks on the table, if I hadn't cut the first one, I thought she brought the same one. These look like they were cooked all the way. You're off, she walked. I cut into mine, it is cooked all the way through. My wife cuts hers, it's cooked all the way through. Well, I'm kind of wondering what to do. And she comes over, she says, is there a problem? I said, ma'am, when we ordered these steaks, how do we ask them to be cooked? She said, medium rare. I said, look at that. She goes, that is not medium rare. I'm going to get you two more. Well, I'm getting a little under conviction here. I mean, this is going to be six steaks for two people. As I told Kathy, I said, they're going to kill every cow in the state trying to get us a couple of steaks. And I can't prove this, but by this time, I think the cook is hotter than the grill. Because she didn't have to bring the next two steaks out. She could have pointed to the table. They could have walked over themselves, okay? That's the first time I ever had a steak where I could have got a transfusion at the same time. The purple price was still on the stuck on the side of the meat, you know? And all I can tell is, I'll bet back in the kitchen, he just kind of went, give this to them. And so she lays these two raw. Now, I see a great lady, but she had to be blind because she never saw it. She never looked at the food, you know. She lays these two steaks. And I'm looking at these and I'm thinking, man, I can eat an overcooked steak. I can't eat a raw steak. And she comes back over and she goes, is there a problem? I said, ma'am, when we ask you to have these steaks cooked, how do we ask? She says, medium rare. I said, look at that. She goes, those aren't even cooked. And then she said this. What do you want me to do? I said, kill the cook. She killed him before she found out I was joking. Anyway, no. I said, here's what I'd like you to do. Ask your manager if we can pay for the coffee and the salad, and we'll just go someplace else. And I wasn't abrasive to her or anything else. And so she went over to the manager and she came back. The manager says, she said, you know, you can just go ahead and go, don't even pay for it. I was going to take them two steaks home and cook them. But anyway, But you know what? She wanted, look, I believe you have gone to a restaurant and gotten something bad and had a waiter or waitress take it off your bill.
That's right.
They should. They should. Okay? Now, I was someplace, I was up in the state of New York, and this pastor had me out. And I can't remember what kind of, well, it was some kind of beef, whatever it was, it had that sweet, spoiled taste. And so I called the waiter here. I said, I think this piece of meat is spoiled. And he goes, well, what'd you like me to get? I said, well, just give me another. And he gets real smart with me. He goes, well, if that one's spoiled, it all comes off the same piece of meat, so the other one's going to be spoiled. What would you like? Your tongue. Anyway, so I got something else, you know. And then a little while later, he comes out and goes, oh, the cook took another cut off of that beef, and yes, it was spoiled. I thought, oh, it's only spoiled if you say so. But here's the problem. He never took it off the bill. Now, I wasn't paying for it. Didn't bother me either way. But if somebody gives you a bad meal, they either take it off or they give you a dessert. They do something. You know why? Because they're concerned that you aren't going to be satisfied. And a good waiter or waitress wants their customer to be satisfied. So when's the last time you asked? When's the last time you asked God, how's been my service? Is everything being presented exactly the way you wanted it? Are you satisfied? Has this been a pleasurable experience? Have I been doing a good job? Guys, we are waiting on Him. He is not waiting on us. A good waiter or waitress checks on you regularly. They will check. Now, I've had some. I'm serious. When they dropped the food, you never saw them again. It's like our meal must have been the last one before they went on vacation. Because they just went out the door and were never seen again. And I told you, they don't bring coffee. They don't bring more water. They don't bring anything else. Guys, you know what a good waiter or waitress does? They check on you. I've had them walking by, and they'll just check that table to make sure that guy's got everything they want. Did you ever just check on the Lord? Did you ever just stop by and say, am I doing okay? Is there something that I have overlooked? I don't think we ever do that because we never think about us waiting on Him. We only think about Him waiting on us. And He's not up there to wait on us. He's the one that's called God. We're the one that's called servant. And we're supposed to wait on Him. A good waiter will impress you. You know, really, a good waiter can make, a waiter can make or break your evening. If you want to take your wife out at your anniversary or something, and you have a bad waiter, even if the meal's good, the bad waiter will just ruin the night for you. And did you ever just go in when you had a bad day, and the waiter was nice, and they just made it for you? But a good waiter or waitress will impress you. I will tell you the most impressed I've ever been with a waiter. It was when I was pastoring over in New York, and me and about eight men, we went out one Saturday morning to a ma-pa restaurant for breakfast. And this kid that came out, he was not the stereotypical waiter. He looked like he was the entire backfield for the high school football team. He had about this much neck. It was like this, and you didn't order. He just said, you're eating this, you're getting this, and you get this, and shut up. But he did. He just walked out there, boom, 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 boom. But he didn't bring any kind of a pad, nothing to write down. And he went like this. There's nine of us. He goes, what do you have? And I looked at him. I thought, one way or another, this is going to be a memorable meal. And so I told him what I wanted, how I wanted eggs cooked, et cetera, so on. And he says, okay. He says, and now you. And now you. And he went through every one of those guys. And when he walked away, I said, guys, this is going to be interesting. I said, I want to see what happens if this kid brings out the food. And I don't know how long it didn't take an extra particular long time. But when that young man brought that food out, he brought out everything exactly as it was ordered, put it in front of every person who had ordered it, and did not have to make one change. There wasn't one thing that he forgot or overlooked. And that's impressive. I'm telling you about it. Wouldn't it be something if God started telling people about the service we rendered to Him? Wouldn't it be something if God would tell them angels, hey, look down there, you see the guy right there? Man, let me tell you about what he does for me. Let me tell you about how meticulous he is about serving. Let me tell you about how he just wants to make sure that I have a good experience. Guys, a good waiter, waitress will impress you. Let me ask you this. Is this true? A good waiter, waitress will get a good tip. Now, we've now come to this point in our country where you get a tip for breathing. You know what I hate? I hate these little things with a screen on the table. And I'll ask the waiter, I say, bring me a menu. Well, it's on there. I said, well, bring me a menu anyway. Well, you know, you can order it right on here. I said, yeah. I said, I order it, I pay it here, and you still want a tip. Right? I said, I'll just give a few electrodes to this thing here because it's doing all the work. Guys, I'm not going to a restaurant so I can order the food.
Right.
I'm going to pay for it. That's enough. But don't you give the tip according to the kind of service you got.
Yes, sir.
Now, I am going to tell you, we always tip. Please don't be a self-righteous, boneheaded Christian. I know some guys, they don't tip and they'll go, I gave them a gospel tract. I gave them the best tip there is in the universe, the gospel. You understand they don't really see that value.
Amen.
And if you're going to leave a tip like this, you better leave a decent tip that's got a picture of a dead president on it. Okay. And we have given some tips. We always give a tip. But if we get a good waiter or waitress, we give them a good tip. You say, why? I'm impressed. They made my night. They didn't ruin my night. That in itself was an accomplishment. Man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine going out to have a nice time and you come back mad because of the waiter or waitress? Could you imagine if God does that? If he comes by to have fellowship with you or me and ends up going back home angry at how inept we were, at how blind we were, how selfish we were. But guys, the tip comes when it's all over. You know, I have never met a waiter or waitress that didn't want a good tip. And I never have met a Christian who didn't want good rewards when they got on the other side. But I have met waiters or waitresses that wanted a good tip, but didn't want to earn it.
Amen.
And I've met so many Christians that it's almost, you know, we don't like a government that pays us for doing nothing. But we want God to be that way.
Yes.
We want God, whether I've waited on him right, whether I've served him properly, or I've seen to it that he was satisfied, where I sweated the little things, where I did the best I could to serve him. We don't want a God like that. We want to just do whatever we want, and we think he owes us a good tip. I mean, now, they got, you know, the guy, they just stand there, you hand them your bill, and they want a tip for it. Now, I believe in tipping waiters and waitresses. That's it. I don't tip everybody else, but my goodness, everybody's got to be tipped for something. But the tip comes when the service is over. And the tip is according to what your service has been. Now, let me ask you a question. We're all praying for the Lord to come back. We're waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
But until we're waiting, while we're waiting on the Lord, we're supposed to be waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
And if we're come back tonight, what kind of tip would you give? Are you going to sit there right now and say, well, he shouldn't just anything. Well, he owes me. He doesn't owe you nothing. He didn't even owe you his death on the cross. He didn't owe you salvation. He didn't owe you anything. But if he were to evaluate your service, how would you do tonight? What would your tip be? You know what I have to laugh? How many times now you go into a restaurant, go into a store, go into a gas station? How many times do you hear this? Are you in our rewards program? And I thought, my, American business has taken a lesson from God. And I really have to laugh when Christians will say this. Well, I don't serve God for rewards. Listen, I never saw anybody that doesn't want rewarded for something. Everybody wants to be rewarded. If nothing else, you just want your service to be acknowledged. And if the Lord comes back tonight, how would you rate as a waiter or a waitress? That's the important thing, because It says in verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Now I'm sure you know of another Christian that doesn't do a very good job at waiting on the Lord. But we're going to give them the night off. And take a look at yourself. A good waiter or waitress notices you. A good waiter or waitress brings you what you want. A good waiter or waitress sweats the little things. A good waiter or waitress has good attitude. A good waiter or waitress thinks only of your satisfaction. A good waiter waitress checks back with you regularly. A good waiter waitress impresses you. Why don't you just take an honest inventory of your service to your God? Again, I don't believe I'm addressing people who have these horrible secret sins. I'm not talking about you and some evil thing in your life. I'm talking about you and your service for this God you say you serve, you love. If the Lord comes by and spends some time with you, does he go back to heaven and say, man, that was just great? Or does he have to say, well, they ignored me about this. They never took care of this little thing. They never replenished this. Let's wait on the Lord. Maybe tonight before we leave here, somebody needs to say to the Lord, I'm sorry. I don't think I've been a very good waiter. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your grace and your great kindness. God, these people are like me. They probably had plenty of meals in a restaurant. And they've got tales of their own waiters or waitresses, some good, some bad. We've got it good in this country. But Lord, when we sit in a restaurant, we feel entitled to good service. And I think we are. Most certainly, Father, you are always entitled to good service from us. And I pray for these people, God, that they will do an honest inventory of their service to you. Not your service to them, their service to you. And maybe they see something lacking. But they all want a good tip. So God, I pray for these people. I pray, God, that they will wait on their Lord. I pray they will serve you. I pray that they will do such a good job, God, that throughout their life, whatever remains of it, you'll be positively impressed. And then when they get on the other side, the tip will reflect what you thought of their service. And God, if there's somebody that's fallen short, you haven't come back yet, and we're not dead, which means there's still time to reverse the trend and serve you well. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the instruments play, if you need to come and talk to the Lord, why don't you come right now? Lord, what kind of service have I given you? What kind of waiter, what kind of waitress have I been?